tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is the place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. I want to say good day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Common Ground podcast. Okay, so I'm going to continue where I left off from last week. Okay, so the name of this episode will be The System Behind the White Coat. Now, this is part two of it, okay, because last week I discussed it. So I'm going to go through a little bit of recap from last week. So I discuss when politics enters the ER, right? So I talked about how I exposed how federal funding decisions, especially around Medicare and Medicaid, shape life and death moments. Underfunded hospitals, exhausted nurses and ERs, stress past the breaking point. Improve one truth. Policy isn't paperwork. It is people's lives. Let me say that again. Policy isn't just about paperwork, okay? It's about people's lives, all right? I also talked about the price of prescription politics. I always follow the money trail. Five drug distribution giants and big pharma lobbying dollars keep life-saving medication out of reach for millions. Nurses see the fallout when patients split pills or skip doses, while leaders like Bernie Sanders, man, push for universal care that puts people before profit. As a matter of fact, Bernie Sanders just last week had him and AOC had a town hall meeting for a good hour and a half. And same thing he talked about universal health care for all, with all the stuff that's going on right now. I also discuss the cost of compassion fatigue. Let me say that again. The cost of compassion fatigue. I turn the lens on the caregivers themselves. Burnout, trauma, and emotional exhaustion are hollowing out the nursing workforce. When nurses suffer, patients die. When nurses suffer, patients die. Caring for the caregivers isn't a luxury. It's the first step in healing the system. And finally, right, what I discussed from last week again, lobbyists, lies, and lives. I trace how lobbyists rewrite policy behind closed doors while nurses march for safe staffing. Congress listens to campaign checks instead of cries from the floor. The result, 33 million Americans still uninsured. CEOs richer, compassion poorer. Okay, so now I'm going to get into this segment because, like I said, there's a lot of this to unpack. When it comes to healthcare, there's so much things that you could talk about when it comes to healthcare. You can't really discuss it in just two shows alone because healthcare is such a vast topic. You know what I mean? So much things that goes on with healthcare, right? So now, the human cost of policy. Every policy had a heartbeat behind it. When Medicaid is cut, that someone's grandmother loses her insulin, man. Right, according to the Health Affairs 2024. Okay, so let's talk about the cut of Medicaid as we see what's going on right now in Capitol Hill, in Washington, D.C. You know what I mean? Right? One party is trying to fight to save our health care while the other party is trying to destroy it. Right? According to these parties, right? Healthcare system is not to be played with, man. It's not to be played with. Okay? There's so many people out there that need healthcare that is uninsured right now. Just like I said earlier, 33 million American people that do not have insurance. That's one-third of the population of America. That's a lot of people. that do not have health insurance. You know what I mean? Just for like the basic needs for their lives, right? You know what I mean? The health insurance is very important. When hospitals close in rural America, there's someone's child waiting 2 hours for an ambulance. The American Hospital Association confirmed over 300 rural closures in the last decade. Think about it, right? A lot of these rural hospitals depend on Medicaid and they depend on Medicare to really survive. They really need that funding from that program, right? So when they're not getting enough funding, they will be closed. And right now, with this new so-called big, beautiful bill that's in play right now, that this administration has signed into law or into regulation, a lot more people will be losing their health care. A lot more people. And these people are people that live in the rural area. A lot more of them. You know what I mean? They're the ones that live in the trailer parks, right? The ones that live in the country that really need it. Because think about it, man. You're living in the country life, you know? There's a house right here, and then about 40, 50 more miles, you drive to another house. And who knows how far a hospital from where that person live. That's why healthcare should be mandatory for all American citizens, for everybody that lives in this country who's legalized in this country, right? Policy looks good on paper, but it bleeds in real life, right? Yeah, the people that up there that are making decisions. So let's be honest right now, right? It's not these damn politicians that are making these damn decisions. A lot of these politicians are getting money from a lot of these bureaucrats, lobbyist people, right? A lot of them are getting money from them. So, and they're the one behind the scene that we don't even see their face, right? But these are the ones that's shaping policies that's going to affect you. The rich people out there that are shaping policies that will affect you as an American citizen. And it doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, if you're Republican, if you're a Democrat, man. You deserve proper health care. You know what I mean? And a lot of these people just want to be able to save money. Save money by cutting off your damn Medicare and Medicaid. And it's not right at all. Medicare eligibility changes can erase years of security overnight. According to Brookings, 15 million people are expected to lose coverage post-pandemic. You know what I mean? After this pandemic, right? A lot of people right now is expected to lose coverage. And now with this bill that's into law right now, and with the government shutdown that's going on right now, you know what I mean? People's healthcare coverage is going to go up, right? People's healthcare coverage is moving up right now. God, I can remember right now when I had one child back in 1996, when I was paying health insurance for just me and her. I was paying damn near $300 a month for health insurance, only making $9, $10 an hour at the time, right? And I still had to pay insurance for this little baby. And that was back in 1996. Now, right, the average cost for a family is about, like maybe what, $500-$600? So now, if the government do not really take healthcare serious, it's gonna double to close to $1,500 a month. Who can really afford it? It's like, you know what I mean? You have to decide, pay your rent or pay for health insurance for your family. You see what I'm saying? That's what it's gonna go down to. Imagine you paying $1,200 to $1,500 a month for health insurance. You, we'll say with a family of four, $1,200 to $1,500 a month just for health insurance, and that is just for like the basic, not for all the excess stuff that you might need later on, like say the paying for surgery or something like that. You know what I mean? So all the stuff that we have to really think about. So universal healthcare could prevent that, though, right? No gaps, no guessing games. Universal healthcare. How Canada and Germany, those two major industrialized countries, those countries right now, the people have a universal healthcare over there. And how are they surviving? How are they doing it? Why can't here, they're supposed to be the greatest country in the world right now? Because think about it, people's trying to fight to come to this country, right? Fighting to try to come to this damn country. And you're trying to tell me that we can't get universal health care for everybody? Come on, let's go. Let's get it right. Nurses see the pain that policymakers don't. They see the human cost behind the spreadsheet, right? Because you think about it, the nurses are the ones that are on the floor. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking about this the other day, right? No, don't get me wrong. Thank God for doctors. Doctors do a lot of great things to save lives. But let's be real. In most cases, if they're not patient, they're not going to really know that they have a doctor. Maybe it's living in a small town or something. But those patients, because once the doctor treat that patient, that patient don't go on the floor, the patient might be in recovery from 3 to 5 to 7 days. So guess who that patient going to see more, right? Yeah, all the nurses, those caregivers, right? The nurses, the techs, those people that's on the floor that check on them, right? You see what I'm saying? So, right? So they're the one that's feeling it, they're feeling it right now, right? No matter what, these policymakers aren't feeling it. I mean, this is like I said last week. In my last podcast. Imagine if some of these policymakers, these congresspeople, could just go to some of these busy hospitals, man, and walk the floor in the ER, in some of these floors, these trauma floors. Maybe a lot of them will have a lot more compassion when it comes to healthcare and people with healthcare. Matter of fact, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Somebody I don't agree with, right? She's a representative of the Georgia. You know what I mean? She's a diehard Trump supporter. But I got to give her props. Man, I got to give this woman props, man. She be, for the past couple few weeks, she be blaming her own party about this government shutdown. Very rarely see a Republican blame their own party, right? About healthcare. She said she have grown adult children. And she said her kids is going to lose their healthcare. Because of Donald Trump policy. Think about it. A Republican saying that. Man. So you know it's serious. You understand me? You know it's serious though, man, when a Republican is talking about, you know what I'm saying, my family, because she knows it's hitting home, right? She's thinking about her children, her young adult children, right, could potentially lose their health care because of the DACA policies, this government shutdown, all the crap that's going on, right? Every time funding is cut, a nurse has to make an impossible choice. Which patient gets help first? Think about it, right? When you got two patients and funding cut, and that's a hard decision on the DACA nurse, man, right? And they should not be in that position to make that damn decision, point blank. No healthcare worker should be in position, which patient am I going to give this damn catheter to, right? Some smallest catheter, you know what I mean? Because it's funny, because it's not only patient care, that's good, that's getting the brunt of it, it's the damn supplies that the damn hospital got to order. You see what I'm saying? Imagine, you know, two patients need a catheter, but you only got one catheter, because the ER couldn't afford to order any damn catheter. Think about that, right? You might think, oh, it's a joke, but it's some real stuff out there. Think about it, right? Which patient with that nurse made the damn decision to, huh? That's sad to me, man. When you hurt healthcare, you hurt the human spirit, man. Like I said, right? When you hurt healthcare, you hurt the human spirit. Healthcare isn't charity. It's survival. As the Lancet stated, right? Policy is the most powerful medicine in the world. Let me say that again. Policy is the most powerful medicine in the world. But the question is, who is prescribing it? Huh? Who are you voting for that's gonna think about your well-being? Who are you putting in the office that's gonna think about your health care? You understand me? That's the stuff we need to start thinking about. I know a lot of times we're all talking about, oh, gas prices high, groceries are high. I get all of that. But what's more important than all of that is your daggone health care, is your health. You understand me? And you want that to be cheap. Okay, remember about, if you are at a certain age, right, you will remember this. When the senior citizen used to drive to Canada because the prescription was so damn expensive here in America at one point. It was a big deal on the news. About 20 years ago. When senior citizen, we used to think about it, man. You live in America, you have to drive to another country just to get cheaper damn pills? That's sad to me. It really is. Okay, no, so next topic. Right, mental health in the crossfire, man. And I'll tell you about mental health, right? Now, back in the 1960s, JFK, the last piece of legislation JFK signed was the Community Mental Health Act of 1963, right? And how it was designed to, right? The federal government, because think about it, if you live in a community, right? You are the healthcare provider. You know that community. So the federal government will give you funding to help your community, right, take care your patients better, basically, in different clinics and different hospitals and stuff within that community, right? Fast forward 20 years later, then when Ronald Reagan took office in the 1980s, he cut the damn crap. He took away your mental health, man, point blank, right? And how he did it? And how he did it? He didn't directly take it away. He just moved the same program into another program where he was going to get rid of anyway. You know what I mean? Thinking people not going to think about that stuff. You see what I'm saying? And right now, mental health. And just like I always tell my patient when I worked at a mental health hospital, because sometimes, a lot of them don't want to be there. I understand. Because sometimes the family probably put them in there. And when I used to do my little group, I used to always tell them, right, if you get sick, physically sick, you go to the hospital. You know what I mean? Your mind, you know what I mean? Your brain, everything, that's part of your body as well. So why not? And your insurance is paying for it, right, at the time. So why not utilize the insurance just to get the treatment that you deserve, right? It's not what you need, it's what you deserve. You understand me, right? So mental health funding is always the first to go when budgets get tight. Remember that? Remember what I just said about Reagan, right? Mental health funding is always the first to go when budgets get tight. Donald Trump, in the first administration, did the same stuff, cut their mental health funding as well. Right? The CDC found that 1 in 5 Americans live with mental illness, yet less than half receive care. Medicare doesn't fully cover therapy or counseling sessions, forcing seniors to choose between mental health and groceries. Think about it, man. Your insurance don't cover, right? So Medicare don't cover fully Medicare, right? But you gotta eat. You gotta eat, right? But you know you need this damn, you need the mental health treatment. You understand me? When will America learn, man? When will America learn that of all this stuff that's going on, let's say, even within the past 5 years, right? Within the past 5 years, there's so much stuff I do believe that could be prevented if people could really get the treatment, right? You know what I mean? I know sometimes people might not want the treatment, but you know what I mean? Stuff like commercials, that stuff work. Trust me. You know what I mean? Freaking advertise all the time on TV, on the internet, so these people could get help. Something. Right? So they could go and get the help that they deserve, man. Get the help that they deserve. Okay? When Medicaid rolled back coverage, right? Million lose access to addiction treatment. Okay, so million lose access to addiction treatment, right? Now, so let me say this real quick. Hold on 1 second. So according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, right? The SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, reported that 28% of treatment facilities, rely entirely on Medicaid reimbursement. Think about it, right? 28% of mental health sources, right, rely on mental health treatment. Nurses and social workers carry this burden daily. They listen to trauma stories that stay in their hearts long after the shift end, right? Now, according to the Journal of American Association, right? JAMA Psychiatry, right? Healthcare workers are now twice as likely to express depression as the general public. Think about it, right? Even the healthcare workers are actually, a lot of them right now are developing a lot of mental health issues right now. You don't understand me? And some of them probably work at a healthcare facility, and some of them probably can't even afford their own insurance at the same hospital that they're working. You know what I mean? So how are they going to get treatment if they can't afford the damn insurance, because insurance is going to be, they're going to skyrocket it. Think about that. See what I'm saying? We can't heal others while ignoring our own wounds, man. Think about it, right? How can a nurse have issues, mental health issues, right? But going to be able to take care of this patient fully. It's going to be difficult for the nurse, because the nurse got issues too. And the nurse need help. Politicians talk about mental health, but few fund it with the seriousness it deserves. Exactly, right? Politicians talk about mental health, but few fund it with the seriousness it deserves, man. Think about it, right? All they do is just talk a good game. Like, I have these politicians, that's all they do. They talk a good game, but they don't give a darn. You know what I mean? Right? They say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, right? And then when they finally get in office, what do some of them do? Because sometimes, I'll just type in some random politician name that I know, and I'll just look at the damn voting record. And sometimes some of this stuff, especially when they come on TV, right? You know what I'm saying? I talk this crap. I'll Google the name and look up their voting record, what they voted for and what they voted against. See what I'm saying? And some of them, what they do, right? Some of them will rewrite the bill. Knowing that the damn bill is not going anywhere. That's not to fool you. Knowing that that bill that they write, or the legislation that they try to write, and then they write it knowing not going to go anywhere, right? And they just let it be. Say, I tried. Basically, I tried. But they don't fight for it. They just let it stand, and it could be there for years, right? Unless we, as voters, man, make these damn politicians accountable. We need to start making them accountable. Especially when whatever they start running things on. You know what I mean? Bernie Sanders once said, mental health is healthcare, period. And he's right. Right? Healthcare. Right? Healthcare. Because if a lot of these people get the proper treatment, maybe there could be less gun violence in the schools. Maybe there'd be less shooting out there. Huh? Think about this mass shooting. If a lot of those people could get the help that they deserve from the beginning, you know what I mean? There got to be signs somewhere across the timeline before it leads up to that. There has to be some kind of signs, man. The cost of neglect is counted in funerals, not dollars, right? The cost of neglect is counted in funerals, not dollars, right? Until we make it a national priority, suicide will rise and stigma will stay. That's another thing too, right? Not only about mass shooting, it's about suicide, man. I'm telling you right now, I'll never forget when I was in the military stationed in Korea, the young soldier, the young man would come to work happy every day, smiling, acting nothing wrong. And then the next day, one day was supposed to come to work, the young man never came to work, right? They ended up going to his room. They found this young man hung himself. Imagine if they would have caught that earlier, caught what he was going through earlier. Maybe he could, his life could have been saved. And he was only like 19, maybe 19, 20 years old, man. So sad to me when I hear those type of things happen, man. You know what I mean? Sad. Young man just kill himself, suicide, just like that. Really sad. America doesn't need more speeches, right? We need solutions, right? Yeah, that's why I'm tired of all the damn speeches, but I really am. Tired of hearing all these people come on TV, these politicians come on TV, or if something happened, thoughts and prayers. I don't want to hear that crap no more. What's thoughts and prayers going to do? We need solutions, man. That's what we need, right? We need solutions. And mental health treatment is a must. It should be a priority, right? Because mental health care is optional. Like I said, it's essential. Mental health care is essential for everybody, man, for all of us. We all should at least talk to a therapist at least once in our lifetime. Just to go and talk to somebody. You'll never know. You will never know. Now, nurses versus bureaucracy. Nurses are drowning in paperwork, not patients, according to American Nurses Association. RNs spend nearly 25% of each shift on documentation alone. I'm going to tell you something. This is so true. Sometimes I'll be feeling so off the nerve. I worked at a mental health hospital as a mental health technician. And when I see the damn paperwork that the damn nurses had to fill out, right? It's like a damn book for one patient, man. You know what I mean? Sometimes it could take them 30 minutes to 40 minutes just to fill out that, doesn't fill out what they need on the one patient. That's ridiculous to me. Why do they make it like that? Right? They should be spending majority of the daggone time on the daggone arm, on the patient. Point blank. Not filling out the damn paperwork. That's crazy to me, man. That is time stolen from bedside care. Bureaucracy killed empathy. You know what I mean? It is people up there that's telling these politicians what to do. You know what I'm saying? Hey, make it difficult for these damn nurses, man. Let's have it where they gotta fill out the damn book on each patient. You know what I mean? That type of stuff they be talking about up there. When a nurse must choose between charting and comforting, the system has already failed. And think about even sometimes some of these nurses, right? A lot of them work 12-hour shifts, 7 p.m., 7 a.m., whatever, and vice versa. Sometimes throughout the day, they might not have time to chart all the patients because they'll be so damn busy, especially like an ICU or the ER, whatever, right? So sometimes they got to wait till end the shift when they're already tired to do the charting. Think about it, right? So they might take my extra, right? They're supposed to get off at 7 o'clock. Now they probably don't leave until 8, 9 o'clock just to chart on these patients, man. When the damn nurses are retired. Crazy to me. It should not be like that to me. Right? Even when I was working at the hospital and I would see that. I mean, since I walk past and I said, look, hey, your shift is over. And the damn nurse just keep charting. You see what I'm saying? They have to chart because, you know what I mean, for the next shift or whatever. That's crazy to me. And it should not be like that, though. Medicare and Medicaid audits often punish hospitals for honest mistakes rather than rewarding quality care, right? I was trying to punish hospitals, right? And instead of punishing these hospitals, they might make an honest mistake, right? And instead of you punish them, why don't you send people down there to train them? You see what I'm saying? Train them on certain things. Maybe they might not know. I'll talk to them. You know what I mean? have a conversation, but you want to punish these people? Crazy, right? Meanwhile, nurse staffing bill is stalled in Congress year after year. How much time did all the hospitals when nurses are short-handed, right? Sometimes nurses are called out, have to call out sick because they don't feel good. You know what I mean? And the hospital are short-handed. Now, think about it, right? Imagine you are the nurse. Normally, you probably have five patients, and then you are short. So now they're going to add 3 to 4 extra patient load on you. That's a lot, especially if you're in a busy emergency room or if you're in the ICU or one of those highly functional units, right? Highly functional units. You see what I'm saying? The ANA has pleaded for safe ratios since 2004. 2 decades later, we're still debating it, right? Because I always wonder, sometimes I wonder when I go to, like in Georgia, right? Does Georgia have a law where it's supposed to be like the ratio between nurses and patients? I've always wondered, is there any rules and regulations? Because what I find out, I think that there isn't any rules and regulations when it comes to actual ratio, right? Come from the state. You know what I'm saying? Of how many patients each nurse should have. Because now you're a damn nurse, you come on a shift, and somebody called out sick. Because I know, right, even when I was working at a mental health hospital, and normally on each floor, you're supposed to have at least 2 techs on the floor, right? And you're supposed to have at least, say, 10 patients per tech. When one person calls, they don't have no replacement, no. You got 20 patients you got to take care of. And think about it, right? You got 1 tech, 1 nurse. I've done it before, 1 tech, 1 nurse. You see what I'm saying? And taking care of 20 patients that have mental illness. And sometimes, some of those patients with no fault of their own, sometimes they could get a little aggressive and could get a little violent. You see what I'm saying? And now you're shorthanded. You don't have enough staff to be able to control the situation. Because now you're by yourself. You know what I mean? And that's sad to me. When policy ignores nurses, it ignores patients. As one nurse told NPR, we are not leaving because we don't care. We are leaving because no one cares about us. Because a lot of nurses right now are leaving the profession. Yeah, granted, right? Some of them are retiring, right? Because they say, by 2030, there's going to be a lot of nurses that are going to be leaving the profession, right? And not only the profession, some of them are probably going to teach. You know what I'm saying? Probably going to become a teacher at a college somewhere, at a nursing school. You know what I mean? So time was nurses to be short, they're really going to be short-handed. And the thing about the government, what really upsets me when it comes to the United States government, right? When it comes to these type of things. It seems like, to me, the government is always reactive. They're not proactive when it comes to certain things. See what I'm saying? Because right now, they should have some kind of policy in place, something. How can we get more people to nursing school right now? How can we get more young people, you know what I'm saying, to do this? You know, the reason why, because like the regular RN registered nurse, BSN, the 4-year degree, right? So now, one of the reasons why they decided to do LPNs was because it was shorter, a year and a half, it's shorter, and they needed nurses faster back in the 1940s and the 1950s. That's how LPNs came out, right? So they should have some kind of programming, man, something to entice people to want to go to nursing school or something. Because it's sad when these hospitals are short nurses, short staff, and the one hardworking nurse that busted her behind is not treated fairly. The quote should haunt every policymaker in America. The cure for bureaucracy is trust. Trust nurses. Let them do what they were called to do. Care. Because no spreadsheet ever saved lives, right? None will ever save life. A life. You know what I mean? Listen to the nurses. Stop listening to, and the doctors. Stop listening to these damn bureaucratic people. These daggone bureaucratic people. They're trying to save a couple dollars, man. Who really owns healthcare? My next topic. A country of patients run by profit. Hospitals are merging faster than ever. So there's a lot of hospitals out there that merging together. You know what I'm saying? Under one umbrella. Becker's Hospital Review reported 88 mergers in the past year alone. Think about it, right? All the hospitals now are merging together under one umbrella. You know what I mean? So who's going to really care about the patients? Huh? Who's going to really care about the daggone patients? Less competition means higher bills and fewer choices for patients. Private equity firms now own hundreds of hospitals, viewing patients as profit margins. According to ProPublica, emergency bills rose 31% after corporate acquisition. Let's say it again. Emergency bills rose 31% after corporate acquisition. Medicare and Medicaid patients often get deprioritized because reimbursements are lower all the time. Because even something like even with mental health hospitals, some of our mental health hospitals do not take Medicare or Medicaid because, you know what I mean, Medicare and Medicaid only cap at a certain percentage of how much they're going to pay out, right? And that's not health care. That's business care. The push for universal health care threatens these corporate profits, which is why so many fight against it. You know what I mean? So imagine if these politicians, man, if the daggone politicians could really stand up and stop taking these corporate dollars. Things would be so lovely. If they stop taking these corporate dollars, right, and start taking small donors. Because I guarantee you, if people are happy, I guarantee they will donate to these people. If people are making money and have the damn job, they get these small donors, right? And they can raise the money that they want instead of taking these bureaucrats' dollars, man. The Guardian, right, noted that America is the only developed nation without guaranteed coverage. Think about it. America, the only country, developed country, without the guaranteed coverage. It's time to ask who the system really serves, the people or the shareholders. If we can fund wars, we can fund wellness. When think about it, right? Donald Trump just said the other day, he's going to give $20 billion to Argentina. Why? To another damn country. $20 billion. He just said last week, when that money could go into the health within in the healthcare system. So many people out there, right? And the same people that voted for this man, he's disrespecting. He don't give a damn about you and you voted for him. Because if he care about you, he'll make sure that your health care is good. Health shouldn't be for sale. Because ownership of health care should belong to the people. Everything, all that should belong to the dang people. So now, Medicare on the edge. Medicare is one of America's greatest promises, man. But that promise is under attack. According to the AARP, proposed privatization plans could raise costs for seniors by 20%. Think about that, man. Imagine if they privatize Medicare. That's going to raise people, seniors up to 20%, man. Think about it. I seen that they're living on a fixed income, man. They get a check every day, one check once a month. And 20% of her damn money had to go through that Medicare. Ain't right. Politicians call it modernization. I call it a slow bleed. When seniors lose coverage, the health declines fast. Missed medications, delayed care, and mounting debt. Medicare Advantage, while convenient, often denies needed care. The OIG 2023 reported that 13% of denials were for medical necessary treatment. 13% of people were denied because of that. That's crazy to me, man. That's not efficiency, it's exploitation. Universal health care could strengthen Medicare, not replace it. We must defend it like our lives depend on it, man, because they do. They're going to defend their pockets. Every time someone says, cut spending, ask them, cut who? Medicare isn't welfare. It's earned through a lifetime of work. Think about it, man. You, as an American citizen, you work hard since you were a young adult, and you pay taxes in this daggone country, so you deserve a nest egg. You deserve something to take care of. You deserve this country to take care of you too. You take care of this country. God, if it wasn't for you right now, you work and you're paying taxes, right? America wouldn't be nothing. See what I'm saying? You're taxing. You're hard work, man. According to the Commonwealth Fund, seniors covered by Medicare live 3 years longer than without Medicare. So that's proof it works. So let's keep working. Medicare. So now, let's talk about the Medicaid Vanishing Act. So, Medicaid expansion saves lives, but rollbacks are erasing those gains. KFF 2024 estimates 18 million people could lose coverage in 2025, right? Due to eligibility changes. Think about it. 18 million people could lose coverage in 2025. That's not policy reform. That's policy cruelty. Low-income families rely on Medicaid for basic care, maternity support, and mental health. Like I said, right? The basic care of healthcare, man. For low-income families. You know what I mean? Because how much out there, like how much low-income family right now, you know what I'm saying? How much people, young people, I'm talking about not only black kids, right? Because every time we think about this thing, we all think about black people, right? White people is disproportionately is on Medicaid too. Young white people, right? And how much of them right now, if they don't have insurance, right, probably haven't taken their children to their doctor because they can't afford to take the kids to the doctor if they don't have insurance. Resulted, ER visits skyrocket, costing taxpayers more in the long run. Then think about it, right? If you don't have Medicare and Medicaid, according to the law, the emergency room cannot in a serious emergency, turn away nobody. So they have to treat that person, right? So imagine if the ER takes, say, 100 patients, and all the patients do have no insurance. Who's going to foot the damn bill? In the damn hospital. And the hospital can't afford that. Because they got people that they got bills that they have to pay. They got the staff that they have to pay. They got supplies that they have to buy. All that stuff counts. You know what I mean? So regardless of what people think, right? Because people, they're not educated on this, man. If these people do not get their insurance because they can't afford it, then guess what? You know what I'm saying? A lot of hospitals are going to close down anyway because now their hospitals are going to file bankruptcy because they're not getting paid. Health affairs confirmed that states with expanded Medicaid saw 25% fewer preventable deaths. Cutting it is both immoral and economically dumb. Really, if you cut that stuff, it's not immoral, it's dumb, stupid. Medicare isn't a handout, it's a hand up. When leaders threaten to defund it, they threaten America's moral compass. Universal healthcare could make coverage permanent, ending this political tug of war. As Bernie Sanders in 2023 said, if every citizen had healthcare, politicians couldn't use it as a leverage. Big time. That's exactly why they resist. Because they want to use it as a damn leverage, right? Now, the politics of healing. When public health becomes partisan, man. Think about it, right? When public health, imagine both sides of the aisle agreeing on certain things, right? So public health should unite us. But in America, it divides us. Mask mandates, vaccines, even nutrition programs have become political battleground. Remember the damn pandemic. According to the CDC data in 2024, political identity now predicts vaccination rates more than income or education. That's not freedom. That's fragmentation. Health misinformation spread faster than the truth. The WHO, right? The World Health Organization in 2023 called this the infodemic, a global threat to science and safety. Real leadership means standing for facts, not votes. Stand for facts. Because even some of these politicians, man, will go on TV and do disinformation and misinformation. You see what I'm saying? To the public. Because they don't give a damn. Right? All they care about is dividing. All they want to do is divide you. Right? Because they don't care. Universal healthcare could restore trust by giving everyone equal access. No politics, just people. As stated by The Lancet 2024, equity is the antidote to division. When we heal together, we grow stronger. When we heal together, we grow stronger. When we divide health politics, everyone gets sick. It's time to get the nation literally. It's time to heal the nation, I should say. Right? We should heal each other, man. It's time for this nation to heal and stop dividing. The economics of care, right? Why universal health care makes fiscal sense. Let's talk dollars, not drama. According to the Congressional Budget Office, a universal health care model could save $650 billion a year in administrative costs. Right? Think about it. It could save $650 billion a year. That's not socialism. That's smart spending. The U.S. spends more on healthcare than any other nation, but ranks 12th in quality, according to the Commonwealth Fund. We pay Rolls-Royce prices for used car services. Think about that, right? We pay Rolls-Royce prices for used car services. Universal healthcare will shift costs from crisis care to preventive care, saving both money and lives. The World Health Organization estimates every dollar invested in prevention saves $5 later. So why are we still debating this? Because the people profiting don't want the math to make sense. It's not the budget problem, it's a priority problem. Healthy citizens build strong economy. And that investment America can't afford not to make. Leadership and accountability, right? Real leaders stand up for people, not profit. Real leaders stand up for people, not profit. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and a few others have been consistent voices for healthcare reform. They've been mocked, labeled, even dismissed, but they're on the right side of history. Courage in politics means fighting for what's right, even when it's unpopular. According to Gallup, 72% of Americans support universal health care, but Congress still drags its feet. That's not democracy. That's the delay by design. Leadership means being brave enough to lose a donor, for the sake of a patient. We need fewer politicians and more public servants. Healthcare heroes wear scrubs, not suits. If you want to fix America, start by protecting those who heal it. Accountability starts from the top, but it belongs to all of us because silence is the enemy of change. Silence is the enemy of change, man. We can't be silent, man. We gotta speak up. We have to speak up because things right now aren't what it's supposed to be. You understand me? And it's really frustrating how these things are right now when it comes to the healthcare system. Okay, and today, young people, that's my time. Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.